and amen. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 5 this morning. It seems as though so much of David's life is surrounded with difficulty and turmoil and danger in dealing with enemies, but it is actually in those very circumstances that so many of the Psalms are written. I think that's what's so attracting about the Psalms. These are real people struggling with real problems, looking for real answers. And Psalm 5, I think, is one of those Psalms. And though there is some uncertainty, many scholars think that this may be during the time of Absalom's rebellion and conspiracy against David, which you can read about in 2 Samuel chapter 14 through 18. But in any case, whether or not it is the circumstances surrounding Absalom, it is clear that David is up against some enemies, which he specifically refers to in verse 8. And so he knows there's danger around him. He knows the potential of discouragement and the potential of making a mistake and becoming vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. He knows even the potential of defeat. And yet, what is David's plan of action? What does he do? How does he handle this constant opposition and these difficult circumstances that he is up against? Well, the answer which is revealed here in the psalm is the recognition of his need for God and his recognition of God to deliver him. The understanding that I can't do this without God. And as David wakes up that day with the realization of what is going on in his life, he chooses to start his day off with the Lord. And the Lord referring to Jehovah, the God who provides everything we need, the God who is bigger than anything I may face in my life. Now this morning, someone may not be trying to kill you, as Absalom was going after David and his kingdom. But I think we can all say that we face problems, don't we? And often we face overwhelming circumstances that can be discouraging and even can defeat us to some degree. But we also all have an enemy. Every day when you and I get up, we enter a war. It is not a physical war, it is a spiritual war. It is a war in which you and I face an enemy that is seeking to capture and destroy our soul. Let me give you the passages that refer to this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." James 4, 7. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And yes, at times we will have to face literal enemies. But every day we must deal with the enemy of sin and the evil one. And so in a very real sense, we are exposed to danger all the time. And the truth of the matter is that if we are not properly preparing ourselves for those dangers, we will eventually find ourselves beat up and weak and vulnerable to temptation and sin. G. Campbell Morgan reminds us of that as he says, we face no day which is not filled with danger. Do you think of your life as being filled with danger? Psalm 5 is a good example, really, of how we need to start off our day as David did, so that we can live victoriously as David lived victoriously in his life. So let's consider the things that David did as he began his day. First thing we see here in Psalm 5 is that he was consulting God with his problems. Now let me ask you something. How is it that you start or prepare for your day? And what I mean by that is, do you think through your day through the eyes of God and with dependence on the strength of God? Because it's clear that David started his day off with the Lord and that his first thoughts were prayers to God with his concerns. He refers to that a couple times as he says, in the morning. And that is not suggesting that the morning is the only time to pray, but I do have to conclude, at least in my own mind, that I think it is strategic in preparing our hearts for the day and for the battles of the day. I have to say for me personally that if I get, sometimes you get up and your mind starts going and you're in a hurry and you get moving and all of a sudden you've just kind of forgotten to commit your day to the Lord. And as I do that and as I forget to leave my day with the Lord and prepare my day with Him, I find I'm not properly prepared. And I find that as I face the battles of the day, that I try to battle them in my own strength, eventually getting myself into trouble. You know, as you go, it's interesting because as you go through the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul kind of wraps up all of that and he says, and pray, verse 18, in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer is a key to the battle that we face each day. Now, I just want to show you how David prayed in these first three verses. I think they're worthy things to take note of here. The first thing that you'll see here is that there is a sense of urgency. He says just a couple things. He says, give ear. Another thing he says, consider. He says, listen. Okay, this is not merely a morning routine for David. He was intensely serious, wanting God to hear his heart. Now understand that this is not the first enemy David has faced. David has faced plenty of enemies over a long period of time. But today was a new day. Today had new challenges, and therefore today was just as important as any other day to pray and to cry out to God. Now let's ask ourselves this question. How urgent are we in our need for God every day? How often do I just go on with my day, hardly giving an afterthought to the war that wages around me, and to the battles that I will be facing, and to my need of God? And that is why Scripture warns us to be alert, to be self-controlled, to be on guard. And yet to live our lives in our own strength and to not equip ourselves with His power and truth is like playing football in pajamas. You're going to get creamed. You're going to get injured. And yet that's exactly what so many Christians do in the Christian life. They're supposed to wear the armor, but they're wearing the pajamas. So we need not be casual, but urgent in our dependence of God. Because war is serious. Second thing I see in this prayer is humility. Verse 2, he says, listen to my cry for help. There's a recognition that I need something more than myself. I can't do this by myself. And then he says, my King and my God. Here, there's an understanding of who David is before God and how privileged he is to go to his throne and speak to him with his concerns, knowing that God welcomes him and finds joy in hearing him pour out his heart. Listen, God never wired us to successfully live the Christian life in our own strength. And so we must understand our own weaknesses and humbly come before God, asking Him to meet our needs. Third thing here is transparency. Verse 3, he just says, I lay my requests before you. Here it is, Lord. Here's my life. Let me ask you, what is it that troubles you, concerns you today? Tell God. Don't pretend there's nothing wrong. Don't somehow think that you can manage this on your own. Be specific and with transparency, tell Him where you need help. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's a habitual sin. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's problems at work. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're in trouble. Lay it out before Him. Maybe there's a situation that you're anticipating to happen. Maybe there's going to be a confrontation with you and your boss. Maybe there's going to be a temptation that you're fully aware of. Maybe there's a decision you have to make and you still don't know what to do about it. Leave it before Him. What is your agenda for the day? Commit your agenda to the Lord, asking God to reign and to be glorified in all that you do that day. I think the bottom line is we just need to shoot straight with God. God wants us to be transparent with Him and to transfer our concerns to Him, knowing that we have left them in good hands. And then fourthly, David prays with expectancy. End of verse 3 says, I wait in expectation. David here is just praying by faith. He didn't know when, he didn't know how God would answer him, but he knew God would answer him. Listen, just because your prayers are not yet answered, don't stop praying. Praying by faith is to keep on praying, knowing that God does hear me and that He will answer me as according to His will, not merely mine. James 1:6 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. But part of believing and not doubting is continuing to pray. And so prayer is crucial to facing and beginning and starting our day off the right way. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Now, one of the reasons I think we see David pouring his heart out so often to God is attributed, secondly, to his confidence in the person of God. Verse 4, he says, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil, literally lawlessness. With you the wicked cannot dwell. David here is speaking of the holiness and the righteousness of God. He's painting a picture here that sin is not compatible with God. Sin and evil is something God will not bless, and it is something that God will not ignore. And this is an important point to be made, because one thing that we as Christians must assure ourselves of, even when there is sin and evil, and even when sin and evil seem to be winning, is that God will not let evil win in the end. In other words, I can have confidence because of who God is. I can know that He is bigger than the problem. And yes, there may be arrogance, as it says in verse 5. There may be those who tell lies, as it says in verse 6. There may be those who are bloodthirsty and deceitful, end of verse 6. But you know what? We've got to consider their destiny. I don't know about you, but some of that stuff kind of gets me down sometimes. But let's consider their destiny. Verse 5, they cannot stand in His presence. Okay, in other words, they won't survive. It says He hates all those who do wrong. Now that's an interesting phrase. This phrase does not contradict God's love for the world and His act to save the world through Christ. So let me just try to explain this. Because sin is detestable to God, He will not only destroy the sin, He will also pour out His wrath on the sinner unless they are pardoned by Him. And that pardon is offered to all through Christ and His work on the cross. I just think sometimes it's easy to lose our hope if we keep looking at circumstances. If all you're doing is watching news every night, you're going to lose hope. Instead of looking to God, let's look to who God is. Is God bigger in your mind than the circumstances that you're seeing and watching and feeling? And so, what a great way to start your day. Look at who God is. Look at how great He is. Look at how holy He is. And because of that, you can trust Him and you can know that evil and sin will not prevail and they will not win in the end. Isn't that good to know? Thirdly, we find David confirming his position with God. Verse 7, he says, "But I," and speaking in contrast here to the wicked, he says, "by your great mercy will come into your house in reverence, will bow down toward your holy temple." Now, notice that David doesn't exalt himself or brag about himself as being better than the wicked, which he just described. I've lived a way better life than them. I'm a much better person. God likes me way more than He likes them. No. Instead of bragging about his own righteousness, he brags about God's mercy. You know what? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want to tell you that Christians are no better than you and no better than anyone else. The only difference is that Christians have received the mercy of God. And mercy means getting something not getting something we deserve. You see, the only way to get right with God is to be forgiven by God and to be declared His child, and that is by putting our faith in what He has done for you, not what you have done for Him. And that's exactly what David is referring to here. You say, well, what is the significance of that in this passage? Why is it important to confirm my position with God? Here's why. The answer is found in Romans 8. Starting with verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why you need to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Because doesn't it feel sometimes that as you go through your difficulties in life that God is nowhere to be found, that you're all alone? Sometimes our circumstances or the fight against sin makes us feel like our situation is hopeless. But if you are a child of God, listen to me, God is with you because He is in you. And at any point, we can come boldly to Him and bow down before Him as Almighty God and not be consumed by His wrath. He's on our side. Boy, we forget that a lot when we go through life, don't we? It is sin that separates people from God, but it is His mercy, His forgiveness that reconciles us back to God. And so if you are a Christian, confirm that. Confirm who Christ is in your life. Confirm what He has done for you on the cross. Fourth, we find David starting his day by calling on the provisions of God. Verse 8, he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your paths before me," or "make straight your way before me." Okay, David's saying, "Lord, provide me with the following things, please." One is righteousness. Okay, in other words, "Lord, help me to reflect your righteousness in my life today. No matter what happens, help me not to blow it. Help me not to dishonor your name. Help me not to fall into the temptation of ungodly behavior, even though people may be ungodly to me." We should constantly be asking God to help us do things His way so that we might glorify Him in everything in our lives. So there's a longing for His righteousness. Do you long for His righteousness and to be more like Him? Well, if the object, which is righteousness, is going to happen, there is also a need for God to provide guidance, which is the other thing that David is asking for here, where he says, "Make straight your paths before me." And I think here there's just an understanding that because we are, and David I think understands, because he is limited in his wisdom, that he is to ask God for wisdom and how to live and how to make God-honoring decisions today. Let me give you two verses. James 1:5 that tells us that if any of us lack wisdom, which we all do, we're all in that category together, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Oh, how we need God to provide for us His righteousness in our life and to provide guidance that we might honor Him. I just think sometimes when we face the most difficult circumstances, it brings out some of the worst things in us. Our reactions and our anger, our desire for revenge. We need to ask God to protect us from those very things. Which kind of leads me into the fifth point here, and that is that David, in beginning his day, cries out for the punishment of God. He describes the sinful or the wicked. And then he says in verse 10 or in verse 9, he describes them. In verse 10, he says, "Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you." Have you ever been treated unfairly? Have you ever had people lie about you? Have you ever had people spread rumors about you? Have you ever had people just take advantage of you and then pretend that they never did anything? I want you to notice here that instead of David taking things into his own hands, he prays for God's justice. Because injustice, even against him, is ultimately an attack upon God himself. He's recognizing that it's not about him. It's about God. Romans 12:17 says, "Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." Verse 19, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." Are you convinced of that? We need to cry out for God's justice. And I would suggest to you that we need to cry out for God's justice in regard to all injustices. We need to cry out for God's justice in regard to the barbaric act of abortion. We need to cry out for God's justice in regard to corruption. We need to cry out for God's justice in regard to immorality. And we need to cry out for God's justice in regard to all evil. And in regard to our own personal situations where we feel that people have been unjust to us. And not because we want to get even with them, but because all evil and all sin is a violation ultimately against God himself. But the only thing I would just add to that in saying is that as you pray for God's justice, please make sure that you are confessing your own sin before him. Because we can pray for the justice of God in regard to all evil around us and maybe miss the big 2x4 in our own eyes as we see the splinters in everybody else's eyes around us. So may God help us not to be hypocritical in that way. And so start your day out with crying out for the punishment or the justice of God. And then lastly, we find as David starts his day, he celebrates the promises of God. Verse 11, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield." It's interesting, that word shield there at the end of verse 12, probably most of us would think of a small shield to kind of protect your chest area. This description is of a very large shield, so big that it covers your entire body. You know what? David knew full well that there was joy in trusting God. Why? Because God always came through. Because God always fulfilled his promises. He always did what he said he was going to do for the nation of Israel. He says, "Surely the Lord will bless the righteous." That was said with confidence, with an attitude of celebration and joy. Listen, you and I can have joy even when problems arise. Why? Because we can know that God will fulfill His promises as we claim them and as we trust Him. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Did you get that? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. There is not a promise in this entire Word of God that God will not fulfill if we do not claim, if we only but claim it and obey Him and trust Him. Did you know that? I don't know about you, but that gives me a reason to be joyful and to be thankful and to celebrate who my God is, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. I don't know, I look at this passage and I say, man, what a way to start a difficult day. what a way to put the day in perspective. Let me ask you something. How do you start your difficult day? Is it on your own? Or is it with God? You know, we have become, one of the things that we have learned to become within our culture today is an independent people. Independence can be a good thing, but it can be also a very unhealthy thing where we refuse the help and the transparency to admit that we need others. We're becoming more of that as a culture today. We're very independent of one another. But what is even more frightening to me is that that mindset of independence has moved its way subtly into the church, and it has moved itself into the mind of the believer that somehow we think we can live our lives independently of God and not be urgent in our dependence of Him. You and I are in a great dangerous situation if we are not walking with God. But do we recognize that? This is a wonderful psalm. I'm going to take this psalm this week and I'm putting it into my prayer journal to help me prepare better for my day. To help me prepare better to bring glory to God in my life. To help me prepare better to walk in dependence of Him instead of too often in independence of Him. Listen, as we start our day, let us consult with God first. Not after the problem. Let's consult Him before. And let us put our confidence in who He is. And let us confirm who we are because of His mercy and because of the cross. Let us call on the provisions of God that we might reflect His righteousness and that He might guide us in His wisdom. And then let us cry out for His justice and let us celebrate His promises that are still trustworthy today. You know what? The God who gave David victory is the God who continues to give His people victory if they will only depend and trust in Him. Let's pray.